WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Los Angeles. National Guardsmen are working at food banks inundated with requests for help as the government shutdown continues.
Many pantries rely on USDA funding, which is drying up. Margaret Dickinson has managed the food pantry at Cavalry Episcopal Church in Louisville, Kentucky for 43 years. She says this week was the first time they've run out of food with the need so great.
It's just ballooning like crazy.
Lynette Lau is president of the Association of Community Ministries in Louisville.
We feel like this is the tip of the iceberg.
Because SNAP benefits will be cut starting November 1st, potentially leaving millions more people in need of food. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
President Trump's war on drug traffickers is ramping up.
In recent weeks, the U.S. military has blown up 10 alleged drug smuggling boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific. White House advisor Stephen Miller says President Trump will continue to treat drug smugglers and their sponsors as foreign terrorist organizations.
These designated FTOs are the ISIS of the Western Hemisphere, and as the president made clear yesterday, they will be dealt with just as we dealt with ISIS.
Miller spoke as the U.S. military is sending an aircraft carrier to the waters off South America, and as the Trump administration has imposed sanctions against Colombia's president and his family. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
New York Attorney General Letitia James was defiant after pleading not guilty to charges of mortgage fraud in federal court today.
I've heard from just about every jurisdiction in this nation who have said stand up and be tall and never ever cow down or back down or break or bend.
The trial is scheduled for January. The Premier of Ontario, Canada, said he's pulling a television ad that called tariffs harmful. The ad angered President Trump so much he announced he was ending trade talks with Canada. Game 1 of the World Series begins just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time in Toronto.
Los Angeles Dodgers starting pitcher Blake Snell knows he's facing a tough Toronto team.
They got a lot of confidence right now. They're doing a good job of each at bat, like fueling off of each other.
Blue Jays starter Treya Savage steamed through four minor league teams on his way to the majors. Pitched well in the playoffs. He got the word from his manager, John Schneider.
Said they have faith in me to run me out there in the first game, and I was fired up.
At age 22, he's the second youngest Game 1 starting pitcher. The Dodgers, of course, are defending champions. The Blue Jays won the first of two titles 33 years ago tonight. Peter King, CBS News.
What a day it was on Wall Street. The three major stock indices closed at record highs today. The Dow up 1%, NASDAQ up more than 1%. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Bucks on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks are in Canada tonight to take on the Raptors in Toronto. The team getting word yesterday on MRI showing Kevin Porter Jr. suffered a sprained left ankle in the season opener Wednesday night. No word yet on how long he'll be out. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene to face the number 6th ranked Oregon Ducks. Tomorrow night, they kick off at 6 p.m. Packers head to Pittsburgh tomorrow. They'll play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Baseball. The Brewers have promoted GM Matt Arnold to become the president of baseball operations.
It's not going to change materially, honestly. I've never really been focused on titles at all, honestly. It's just been something where you keep your head down and you work hard and good things will happen. Obviously thankful to a ton of people here, including this guy, first and foremost, our ownership, family, like just too many people to thank, but especially the guys that are here that I work with every single day.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, some showers late, and a low in the upper 30s. Maybe a morning shower, then for tomorrow a mix of sun and clouds, highs in the low 50s. Partly sunny and highs in the upper 50s on Sunday. Rain chances return again Monday and Tuesday. Currently 51 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about how the 2026 campaigns already feature several candidates hostile to the majority of voters who support women's health care rights.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday, Conrad. How are you?
I'm good.
You have been a champ. You have been trying to get to troubleshoot a little bit here in our fine studio, the Nightlight Studios, which is always it's always fun watching you work. But you got our camera up and working, and I think you've done a swell job.
I'd like to think so. It's working right now. I can see your face. So
yeah, it's amazing what a guy can do with a slide rule and a Swiss Army knife. Very well done.
Yep.
Welcome, everybody, to the show tonight. It's going to be a fun show. We've got an in-studio guest. We've got some music talk. It is a bar band Friday night. That's always fun. Our usual partner in crime, Terry Barr, will not be here tonight. Did Terry give us an excuse? Not that she needs to. She doesn't need a note or anything.
I think maybe she just need to take a day off, you know?
Really?
Or she's going to see some cool music.
You know, she spends 20 minutes a week with us. She needs a week off.
Yeah, I think it's too much time with you, Pete.
Poor Conrad. We will miss Terry, but as usual, or as often is the case, her partner in crime on Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio rocker, will join us for Bar Band Friday night at 7:30. That will be fun. Always great to catch up with Rocker. And at 6:35 here in the studio, we are going to have a guest named Chris Mays. He's great. Chris lives up by me. I don't know if you knew that. He's like he's up in the greater Marinette area. He's in the burbs. He's in Peshtigo. But Chris will be here. He is the he runs a dinner detective series. Very fun. You ever do one of those?
No. I've played like the game with family of trying to find who the murderer is, you know, of one of those games for Christmas or something like that. But I haven't done
it. I feel like that would be really hard to organize something like that.
This family really likes to play games. So.
No, I get that. I love. You talking about your family?
Yeah,
yeah, ours too. I mean, I love board games. It's more about hanging out and yelling at each other and laughing and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like these dinner detective series that they do in these hotels seem pretty elaborate. It seems like it would be a tough thing to organize. But
I totally agree. But yeah. It looks so much fun.
I agree. I've always meant to do one. I kind of forget about it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds like a blast. So maybe Chris can twist our arm, or not that he needs
road
to.
Road trip.
Yeah, road trip over to the Hyatt. That's where they do them, right down the street
really?
Here.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, that's road trip.
Yeah, and our friend Kayla, what's Kayla's? Kayla Miller, who was our Washington Street model one night for Nightlight Window Fund. She does some acting too.
Cool.
And she does that too. So we'll get to the bottom of it with Chris at 6:35. He will be here in person, and that will be fun. So, folks, wherever you're joining us from in the beautiful state of Wisconsin or parts beyond, welcome. It's great to have you, and the week is over. You made it. We're not quite there yet. We have to entertain you for a couple hours, and then we'll be off the hook as well. But hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, all the more reason you're here. We got some fun conversations tonight. Two good guests. The World Series starts tonight. That's kind of exciting. Yeah. I mean, I know the Brewers.
Yeah, that's all right. Basketball's on, so I'll watch that.
Wow, God, I got to be honest, dude. I mean, I like sports, but early regular season NBA, no thanks.
You get to see what you're looking at for the teams, you know? It's early preview, and I mean, the first game of the year went into double overtime, and it looked like it was the Western Conference Finals, how they played. Could be a preview.
Who was it?
It was the Thunder.
Okay.
And the Rockets.
I got one word for you. Snooze. No, I'm kidding. My opinion on that changed kind of in the last 10 years. I could watch an NBA game any day of the week, and I'd put it on just to have it on while I'm working or whatever. But all of a sudden, I'm all about, unless it's the NFL, 17 games. That's all it is, baby. One a week, I'm there. I cannot follow baseball or basketball all season. Wake me up when the playoffs start. I just can't do it.
Yeah, basketball is my favorite sport, so.
So, having said that, would you rather, I asked you this a couple weeks ago, and you said the Brewers were your favorite, they were your favorite team to win a championship because yes. The Bucks had done that, and the Packers have done it a couple times, but like what, overall, would it be the Bucks?
Oh, I don't even like the Bucks.
You still like Arizona, or is it, who is it?
It's actually Phoenix? Like the Rockets now.
Now you like the Rockets. That's a convenient okay. Fandom you have there.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Durant on the Rockets now?
Yes. Yes, he is.
That's okay. That's not like being a fair weather fan, though, because I understand totally cheering for a person.
Well, you know, I mean, last year the Suns were not good at all, and I still was a fan, so.
All right. But I get following a player. That makes it, brings a little drama.
It's the only sport I do it in.
Really?
But it's my favorite sport.
And there's only five of those dudes out there. No, any given time. So you're cheering for 20% of the team, really. So let's do this, Con, because I think we have kind of a fun question tonight. Let's get to the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, it's National Food Day. So we have a food-related question. What is the best after-bar food? What is the best after-bar food in honor of National Food Day? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream, like people often do, you can drop us a stream comment. Either way, it's interesting because my mind goes typically to like three different things. So I'm looking for some outside the box answers here. Like Amanda Nimmer earlier said, Taco Bell. I feel like we're getting a lot of Taco Bell.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of Taco Bell after the bar.
But I think my favorite, if I had the option, where I live in Marinette, Wisconsin, you don't have, you don't have a lot of options. It's basically fast food and they close around the time the bars do. So you got to cut out early before last call. If you want grub. But I've been in cities where you have better options. Like in LA, there were sometimes food trucks, taco trucks were still open all night. Oh my God. Street tacos or something like that. Sign me up. There's a place in Milwaukee, right down the street from the Comedy Cafe on Brady Street called Cataldo's. I think it's still there. They used to serve Italian food till 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like an old mob hangout. So I guess I would say probably just by default, tacos, whether it's Taco Bell, a food truck somewhere. There's something about tacos. They're just fun to pound after a night of boozing, you know?
I've had my fair share of tacos after the bar. I have a funny story, actually. I was with one of my friends, and we went to, one of the bars down here in Green Bay. They had a food truck across the street, and it was a taco truck. And me, I'm just like, I'll just have some regular, like, I think I got some pork, tacos and just some onions on it and a little bit of salsa. My friend asked for hot, like it hot, And the guy goes, are you sure? It's pretty hot.
Yeah.
He goes, Yeah, no, I love hot. We get back to my house. I look over at him. He's crying. His eyes are so watery.
Oh, like, is that like ghost peppers in it or something?
And he was pretty drunk too, so he's like watering and just like, I regret this. And then after he ate that, he's like, I'm going to bed.
The best is eating food after the bars is great, but the best is almost watching people who are sloppy drunk eating. Because it's so, like, they'd be so embarrassed if they knew. But there's so many great stories of people chowing after bar time. I remember my brother and his friends. I was staying with them in Madison. And he had a bunch of friends visiting. He's a little younger than me. I was there doing stand-up. So I was hanging out with these guys. And one of their friends put a pizza in at like 2 a.m. when they got home. And they all passed out. And the oven was on all night. And the pizza was like basically a piece of charcoal. At like 8 in the morning. The place was sweltering because the oven was on. And I can't remember who the guy's name was. It was like Pinniger. And he's like, one of the guys gets up and goes, hey, Pinniger, your pizza's done. I was in there for like 7 hours. Like, that's the danger, too, when you eat after, you know, you got the calories, for one.
Oh, yes. Well, you already had your calories in what you were drinking.
Alcohol. Yeah, exactly.
And now you're adding on to it with dough. Sauce.
The worst stuff you could. Oh, pizza. There you go. Pizza is another good one.
Well, that's mine. I can house a pizza. It doesn't matter what form it is. Like if I get something, you know, from Domino's or something, or just a frozen pizza.
Right.
I will dominate that pizza.
There are people like my friend Rob. I will not use last names. We went to visit our other friend in Stevens Point where he went to school, and we were hanging out at the bars. And Rob had money. Like he's a dentist now. His dad was a doctor. Like he was never missing a meal or didn't have clothes on his back. He got more excitement out of waiting for the people at Rocky Rococo to throw away the barely expired pizza, and he would just take it out of the dumpster and eat it. It was like a pride thing.
Was he drunk or?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, not falling over drunk. He just. It's like the guy that would rather look for golf balls than spend money on them. You know, it's just kind of.
I mean, that's me.
Bargain. Yeah. So.
My answer is definitely pizza. And yours is tacos. Any form of tacos for you too?
I like street tacos. Yeah. I like Taco Bell. I could eat them all after. I mean, I haven't had drinks in a while like that, and it's been years since I've, like, you know, left the bar and went right to get something to eat like that. Mm-hmm. But like, there's something about the food that just tastes so good then. And you don't have a pizza place. Like, it's hard to find pizza at that hour. It used to be Rocky Rococo's was open after bar time throughout Wisconsin. There's still a few left. There's one in Stevens Point actually, because my daughter goes there and we've seen it. But it's hard to find a variety of food at that hour, you know.
You know, I'll say a close second for me is just a nice burger too.
Yeah.
One time I Ubered back to my house after the bar, and I ordered the famous 7-pack, I think it is, of George Webb's burgers.
Oh, really?
And when I ordered it, I fell asleep right after.
You didn't even eat them?
My roommate comes upstairs with the bag in his hand. He's like, it's like 11. He's like, yeah, did you order some food last night?
I did. I know two people who have ordered food and paid and driven off because they're so drunk. They shouldn't be driving to begin with, but they pay and then they just leave. And my buddy Dan, who drives by this window every once in a while, he didn't have a car, so he opened with the drive-thru. So he stood between two cars in line, and he just went up and he ordered, and he's like waiting by the window. Like,
that's awesome.
That's great. I mean, there are so many great after-bar stories like that. But I would say, and, you know, one of my favorites when I lived in Chicago was White Castle's. I mean, talk about great after-bar food, these sliders with onions and cheese and, like, probably not even really meat.
I've never actually been to one.
Oh, it's so worth it. We had one time we were going to one of our friends was vomiting out the back window, and my friend who was driving didn't even pull over. It's like, hold on to him. Like, why don't you pull over?
hold on to him.
He goes, yeah, hold on to him. We're not, because we were going to White Castle's. All down Addison in Chicago, he's vomiting. All right. Our question, folks, and it's a good one. What is the best after bar food? Let us know. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight. We're coming back with your text, and I'm going to tell you a movie you should see coming up next. La-da-da-da-da. The grocery store, the supermarket.
off to war.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Civic Media. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every
Welcome
day.
Welcome back.
It will brighten all the way.
Oh, man. I'm going to do my best to read this. It is National Food Day. What is the best after bar food, folks? That is the nightlight question of the night. Let us know. I say tacos. Conrad said pizza. And we were talking about White Castles, too. White Castles is just outstanding after bar food. And you want to know a funny what I was telling you right before the break, that friend of mine who vomited hanging out the window,
yeah,
driving through the city, still ate White Castles. He rallied.
As you should.
He was just making room. So, all right, you said pizza. Can you put bigger font? I forgot my glasses tonight. This is embarrassing. I like the way I look without glasses, though. What are your glasses? You think I could? Would those work for me?
Definitely not. my eyes are terrible. So.
So, folks, I want to tell you about a really cool event happening in Madison right now. It's the Wisconsin Book Festival, and it's happening now. It started yesterday. It goes through the 26th, bringing together authors and readers of all ages, interests, genres, you name it. Don't miss out on the New York Times bestsellers Jane Hamilton or Mary Roach, and there will be dozens of others there, as well as they gather for readings and conversations and all kinds of fun book talk. Great stuff happening, and you can find out more information at civicmedia.us. It's all there right there on the website. You know what else is on the website, Conrad?
What's that?
All of the cataloged nightlight shows and daily shows. So that if you miss a show, check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. And all right, now I'm going to tell you guys about a movie. I saw this film in 2017 at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And I read about it in the guide. I had nothing to do. I was done with my duties there for the day of doing Q&As and introducing films and stuff. And I went to see it, and it was one of the most badass movies I've ever seen. And it's called Revenge. And it's about a woman who goes away with her husband for like a romantic getaway. And these two guys show up, her husband's friends, who are very unsavory characters, and they sort of, they assault her while he's out. And they're going after her. She runs, and the husband comes back. And as it turns out, he's on their side, and they're chasing her. She falls off a cliff. This is almost going to sound unbelievable. She falls off a cliff, like 20, 30 feet maybe, and a rock goes right through her midsection. And they just leave her for dead, assuming she's dead. Well, she's not. And the movie is called Revenge. And if you want to see absolute badassery at its best, check it out. I think it's available on a streaming platform. I'm probably going to watch it again this weekend because it was that cool. Revenge. Check it out. All right. As you know, or maybe you don't know, what is it? Bologna Day? It's National Bologna Day, right?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, and you just sent me a lot of bologna stuff. I was like, maybe just you're reminiscent.
That is not my after bar food. But we did put together a little. Do we have time to play our bologna montage? All right, so bologna. I don't know how you guys feel about bologna. As you know, you can always text in or call on whatever we're talking about. Let us know your thoughts. You got the question of the night, favorite after bar food. And now, if you want to weigh in on bologna, that's fine. I ate it as a kid. I don't care for it now. I think it's a funny word. I think it's a funny meat, if it is meat. And we put together a little montage of bologna.
My bologna has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My bologna has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. How's that?
My bologna has a first name. It's H-O-M-E-R. My bologna has a second name. It's H-O-M-E-R.
Hey, you got Pac-Man?
No.
You got Space Invaders?
Nope.
You got asteroids?
Nah, but my dad does. Can't even sit on the toilet some days.
So what do you do here, Dale?
Well, I got a stack of nudie books this high.
Oh, she's beautiful. Would you want to sell any of them to me?
No. I cherish these things. And I use them a lot.
How do you use a magazine?
I was getting to that. See, a guy taught me something really neat last year. Did you ever bop your baloney?
Where's the Gaffigan one?
I don't think you sent me that one.
Yeah, I did. All right. Well, there's our that was our bologna montage. Yeah, Gaffigan's. Oh, there's Norm MacDonald. Where's the Gaffigan? Gaffigan does this whole thing about bologna. I can't believe that. That made the montage, ladies and gentlemen. We'll find it. It's a very funny bit. But let us know where you stand on bologna. Are you a bologna fan, Con?
No.
Were you ever?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Being like, Mom, please get some bologna.
I'm begging you, Mom. Layman Rob on social media says pizza and cheese curds together?
Yeah.
I'd probably go that route.
Why not? Toss it on there.
Absolutely. Janet from social media says, well, it was the burritos at Taco Grande. Is that a Green Bay place? Taco Grande.
I don't know where that is. Maybe.
She says some of your audience might remember it and the Belcher we frequented from 79 to 81. Best burritos in town. It was State Street. Oh, it was out in Madison. Okay, they moved to Francis Street in Tillicolo. I'm sorry, Janet. It sounds like a delightful place. All right. Keep those answers coming, folks. We will get to some more of your texts when we come back after the news. We're going to talk dinner detectives. It's going to be great. Chris Mays is here. He's in studio, and you got to hear this, and you got to try it because it sounds like a lot of fun. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did I fall?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief, the head of the Air Traffic Controllers Union, Nick Daniels, says the shutdown is hurting controllers' performance in the tower.
Every day that this shutdown drags on with no clear insight, this affects their focus.
Two indicted Trump opponents are challenging the legality of the appointment of Lindsey Halligan as a U.S. attorney. She presented their cases to federal grand juries. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Both James Comey and Letitia James are making this argument that Halligan's appointment is unlawful and that potentially that should void their prosecutions altogether.
James pleaded not guilty to federal charges of mortgage fraud today. The Pentagon is sending an aircraft carrier strike group to the waters off South America, part of the administration's fight against drug smugglers. White House advisor Stephen Miller.
Narco-terrorists and narco-trafficking is a terrorist activity. These organizations are the ISIS of the Western Hemisphere.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Bucks on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks are in Canada tonight to take on the Raptors in Toronto. The team getting word yesterday on MRI showing Kevin Porter Jr. suffered a sprained left ankle in the season opener Wednesday night. No word yet on how long he'll be out. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene to face the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks. Tomorrow night, they kick off at 6 p.m. Packers head to Pittsburgh tomorrow. They'll play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Baseball. The Brewers have promoted GM Matt Arnold to become the president of baseball operations.
It's not going to change materially, honestly. I've never really been focused on titles at all. Honestly, it's just been something where you keep your head down and you work hard and good things will happen. Obviously thankful to a ton of people here, including this guy, first and foremost, our ownership, family, like just too many people to thank, but especially the guys that are here that I work with every single day.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been some controversy from people who get their feelings hurt very easily about Bad Bunny playing the Super Bowl halftime show. Shakira has come out and says she is totally in favor of the show and says it's about time they asked him. Shakira performed at the Super Bowl halftime show in 2020 in Spanish, and no one seemed to have an issue with it. The Hips Don't Lie singer says she can't wait to see the show. You gotta love E! News, where you find headlines like Khloe Kardashian shares a surprising update on her sex life. Oh yes, the tea was spilled on the first episode of season 7 of The Kardashians. I've got a lot of catching up to do. Kardashian said during the episode she hasn't had sex in 3 years, but it was also revealed her sister has a new libido gummy line. What a coincidence. I never expected the Kardashians to be hawking a product. I saw this information on Yahoo Entertainment, which labeled the article an 8-minute read. It was about 4 paragraphs. I felt pretty good coming in just under 7.5 minutes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, some showers late, and a low in the upper 30s. Maybe a morning shower, then for tomorrow a mix of sun and clouds, highs in the low 50s. Partly sunny and highs in the upper 50s on Sunday. Rain chances return again Monday and Tuesday. Currently 51 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matt Nair.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Happy Halloween for the Rational Revolution. We have a ghost hunter. Todd Michaels joins us to celebrate Halloween.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is the best after bar food? Our pal Nick Wallander from Comedy City, De Pere. Yeah, Nick's great. We got to get Nick back in here with those guys. They're always fun to have.
Yeah, do those little improv games.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do that. But Nick says, a grilled cheese sandwich clumsily made in your kitchen while you try not to wake anybody up. That's a great. Oh, and Dave on the stream says, gyro and fries. Absolutely. There have been times I've craved a gyro so much. I've gone to Arby's. And they don't have the right sauce. But sometimes you just got to have that salty meat after the bars. Keep those texts coming, folks. We'll catch up in just a bit. All right, I am excited to have my next guest in studio. I don't often have a lot of in-studio guests from north of Green Bay, because that's where I live, but I do tonight. This next gentleman joins me in the studio here for the first time, but not the first time on the show. He's the creator of Clearly Confused Productions, and he runs great productions as the Dinner Detective Shows. I'm having trouble talking here. Mr. Chris Mays. Hey, buddy.
Hey, nice to see you, Pete.
Nice to see you, too. Yeah. I'm glad we finally made this work. You're a busy guy. You're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so it's good to have you here.
For sure.
Do you have a favorite after bar food?
Well, I heard somebody mention pizza, so you can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with pizza.
When I think of late nights and I think of bars, I think of chicken wings.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, yeah. Some garlic parm wings and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That to me is deliciously late night.
Do you have a favorite food in general? Now, I'm asking a guy who lives in Peshtigo. We are not exactly. The culinary capital of the world is not in Marinette, Peshtigo. But do you have a favorite restaurant there or a favorite... don't tell me you own a restaurant there.
No, I don't. I mean, late night, yeah, you're pretty much looking Quick Trip, right? Or, you know, maybe Culver's.
Oh, Quick Trip's not bad.
No.
After bars?
Absolutely.
Get yourself a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, I do a lot of traveling with my work with the Dinner Detective. So, I mean, you know, I go into all these towns and cities and stuff and late night. Yeah, I mean, in some of these places like Quick Trip, nobody beats Quick Trip.
Listen, you know what would be better? And I'm nitpicking because I do like Quick Trip, but I always go in there and they have cheese curds, and I don't want cheese curds at 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
I want the potato, those little potato cheesy things they make.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in the same box as the cheese curds, and I go in, I'm like, oh, they have them, and I get up there and it's cheese curds, which are fine, but I, you know.
Yeah. Probably because the cheese curds last longer, you know.
I'm sure.
Which, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Probably bad.
Yeah, exactly. But you know,
I don't know if they take requests either. Like, if I put my order in, would they make me?
I don't know. But there's always seems to be somebody in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, even late at night, I've gone in there and they're doing, they're concocting things. So
it's fine cuisine. It's the best gas station cuisine, certainly.
It is.
I've ever had.
Beats Wawa. Beats all these places. You know. So.
What are your thoughts on bologna, Chris?
I used to eat a lot of bologna when I was a kid. You know, and I heard you talking about that too. I have not had a bologna sandwich though, and I cannot tell you how long it has been. But you know, hey, it has a first name, right?
L-I-C-A-R
and that whole deal. I mean, it's got status. You know, everybody should have some bologna at some point.
It's like the meat of yesteryear or days gone by. Because you're right, I used to eat it too.
Right.
I don't think I could, if I had a gun to my head, I'd have to do some serious thinking about eating a bologna sandwich. They're both going to kill you.
Yeah, but, eventually. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. Give us a little background. Before we get into Dinner Detective, which I'm very excited to talk about, and Clearly Confused, your company, tell us a little background about yourself.
Well, I'm originally not from Wisconsin. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, born and raised. And, you know, I kind of lived just the average life of a kid there and played sport. You know, there is a city there and people do grow up there, right? So, and because this was entertainment, I got to see a lot of shows. I was exposed to that sort of thing, but I never really got into this line of work till I left. I went to college in a place called Cedar City, Utah. So I went from 750,000 people to about 13,000 overnight. And I went there to play Division I baseball, and I was going to be a baseball coach, and I was going to teach history, and I just kind of had my whole plan, you know, laid out. And then I took an acting class as a elective, and that led to, hey, you should audition for the student-directed one acts for the directing class, and then I did that, and the guy who taught that class was the founder of Utah Shakespeare Festival. So Utah Shakespeare Festival is one of the top five Shakespeare festivals in the world.
Really?
Just right there in Cedar City.
Wow.
So I met him, and I started working through the main stage program at the campus and kind of gradually bled on over and kind of left the education track and went into the theater world. And eventually, yeah, I mean, by the time I was 19, I was working professionally. I was doing Shakespeare, you know, standing on stage, holding spears and carrying notes, getting paid for it.
Wow, nice.
I didn't have to work at the Quick Trip, or we had Maverick in Cedar City. And yeah, so it just kind of went from there, Pete, you know. So this is going to be year 34.
Working in the business. Wow.
Yeah. And so, and over time, you just, as you know, too, being in this line, you diversify. So everybody kind of starts off as a performer or something like that. And then I started directing. I actually started producing before I even left college. So that's where I got my feet wet there. I was designing. I was, you know, so I've done pretty much anything you could think of in this business, and got really heavy into probably, I would say, about 24, 25 years ago when it came to producing and administration and operating and did that for different theater companies. I worked for a group called Merlin Entertainment. Merlin Entertainment controls Lego brand, the Mall of America Aquarium, the London Eye, you know, had stuff all over the world. So yeah. I got to actually work in entertainment on a global scale too. So it's been quite the journey that brought me to where I am now, sitting with you here in
Northeast Wisconsin, baby.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I think everybody knows Vegas, and there's big shows, and there's residencies, and all this stuff. What's the culture like growing up there for a kid who wants to do theater in high school? Is there tons of that there? You'd think there would be because of what's on the strip and all the casinos and that, but what's that like there?
You know, when I was in high school, all the high schools had theater programs.
Okay.
In fact, I went and watched the plays and everything. I actually got my feet wet my senior year of high school a little bit. That's where I kind of, I would say, caught the bug and got interested, which led to the acting class. But like all programs, you're seeing this throughout schools throughout America. They're taking them, the theater programs, away.
Terrible.
You know, Vegas, though, I would say overall, still probably, I couldn't tell you for specific, but I would say, I would hope and think at least half the high schools still have full-time programs.
Right.
There's a performing arts school there, the Las Vegas Academy, which is pretty prominent. And it's turned out a couple of guys from the band The Killers went there. I think Akon, who's a singer. There's been people that have come out of that, not on professionally, and of course went into professional work on other levels, Broadway or dancing in some companies and stuff like that. So there is an arts culture there in Las Vegas. And I think it is fueled by all that entertainment. Even myself, I went back and performed in my hometown. I did a couple different shows, but not when I originally lived there. I went back, spent about 10 years and did a couple different shows myself over that time. So I actually got to perform on the strip. So.
Chris Mays is my guest. He is the producer of Dinner Detective. We're going to talk about that in a bit, and his company is Clearly Confused. Love the name. We're talking about, he's giving us some background about growing up in Vegas. He is now a proud resident of Peshtigo, Wisconsin, just 6 short miles from Marinette, maybe 5, depending on what part of town you live in.
Right.
You mentioned performing arts high schools. You have a performing arts school in Peshtigo, and I will say one of my hesitations about moving back here to Northeast Wisconsin, or more specifically Marinette, because there's a lot of culture around here, but I thought, you know, sports is heavy, which is great. I like sports. You really do learn the same lessons when you're part of a band or theater or, you know, these are great programs that should not be cut under any circumstances, but that's a different discussion. But I'm amazed that you started this school in Peshtigo. My daughter... I didn't know you at the time anyway, but my daughter took dance from your wife, and now you said the school's booming, you have a performing arts school. If you give these programs to kids, they will show up.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of places just don't have them. It's not that they don't want them or wouldn't participate.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for that. That's really spectacular what you're doing.
Yeah. And I really give a lot of credit to my wife,
you
know, Meg. She is a... arts administrator and dancer, and she started it 10 years ago on her own. That was before she met me, too.
Yeah.
And launched it and started off with a handful of students, and now has grown it into, you know, I think this year it's 120-plus dance, just on the dance side. I have about 20 kids that I do theater with. I have a couple theater classes. But, yeah, it's amazing. I think if you give hit, it's exactly that.
It's exactly that.
It's exactly that. It's exactly that.
The following is a presentation from Eau Claire Hometown Media and Civic Media Sports. Eau Claire Area High School football is on the air.
Touchdown! Touchdown for North!
Coverage of tonight's high school football game begins with the pregame show.
Touchdown Memorial!
Let's go to the field and to Scott Montesano.
It's time to turn on the Friday Night Lights. Hello and live from Oak Leaf Stadium in Altoona. It's Eau Claire Area High School football this evening. It's level one of the WIAA playoffs in Division Four, with the number four seed Altoona Railroaders taking on the fifth seed Seymour Thunder. I'm Scott Montesano, joined by Derek Montesano. Welcome you into our coverage tonight. Kickoff slated for 7 o'clock. Now, no matter what happens tonight or the rest of the way, Altoona has already got into a spot the school has never reached before. While this is the fourth time in the last five seasons they've qualified for the postseason, it's the first time in the school's history, yes, the entire history of the school, that the football program is playing a home game in the postseason. And Altoona definitely earned it with an outstanding regular season built on a foundation of strong senior leadership on the field. They'll take on a Seymour Thunder team out of the Bay Conference in the Green Bay area. Seymour has the same 6-2 record as Altoona, and like Altoona, they too can put up a bunch of points. So it's Altoona and Seymour tonight. You've lost the safety net. There is no guaranteed game next week. You win, you keep on going. Lose, and you get ready for either the winter sports calendar or the spring sports calendar, whatever is next on your agenda. Derek, your thoughts on this one?
Well, you talk about this team being led by a ton of senior players, and really it's this year or bust for a deep run for this team. Sawyer Van Vliet, the quarterback, has been absolutely amazing for them throughout the majority of the year. He's a senior. He'll be graduating. Pretty much the majority of the big-name players on this roster are all seniors, so they'll be gone next season.
And again, they've already accomplished something that has never been done in the school's history, that is earning a home game in the postseason. And hey, if they win this week and some other things shake out, they could be home again next week, but this is the last home game that is guaranteed. Altoona, a lot of talk about the offense, and rightfully so, averaging 33 points per game. But boy, that defense so strong, led by Isaac Johnson. Last week against Somerset, 17 tackles and 2 sacks, leading what was, again, a dominating defense that never gave Somerset an opportunity.
Yeah, Somerset was just completely shut down by overall a great game by the defense, and that allowed Altoona to pull away and never look back.
Now, this Seymour program, everybody's learning about each other in the course of just a few days, as the two schools don't face each other in any sports, mind you. Seymour comes in fifth ranked in Division Four. They won 6 in a row before their loss last week to Winneconne for the Bay Conference title. Not only that, Winneconne locking down the number one seed in Division Four. But before that, Seymour had won 6 consecutive games. Their senior quarterback, Caden Staffeld, has thrown for more than 1,100 yards. And Xavier Salzman on defense with 13.5 sacks he's been credited for this year. And even if somebody is goosing the numbers a little bit, you're not goosing up to 13.5 sacks in a season. There's a lot of similarities between the two programs. They're as similar as different models of Samsung cell phones, just little variations here and there. Maybe the only little difference is Altoona may be a stronger strength of schedule, but that's hard to gauge when once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, it is very hard to tell who will just play an overall better game once you get to this point in the season. Obviously, these teams come in with very similar traits. The question will be who shows those traits and who doesn't.
Once again, it's Altoona and Seymour, level one, round one, if you will, in the WIAA playoffs in Division Four. We'll come back, give you some keys to tonight's game and more as we get ready for this one. You're listening to Eau Claire Area High School Football from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
The pregame show continues next on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
And we continue to get ready for this one. Level one of the WIAA playoffs across the state. These first round matchups going on. We are in Altoona tonight as the Railroaders, their first ever home game in the playoffs. Not just in this ballpark's history, the school's entire history. And they're taking on Seymour this evening. Scott Montesano with you. Derek Montesano here as well. And Derek, another nice night for football, a little chilly, but you can feel the playoffs, can't you?
Yeah, you can absolutely feel the atmosphere. Today's game just going to be a good one.
Well, both teams come in at 7-2 in the regular season. Let's give you tonight's keys to the game. And first off, neither team has played from behind much, hence the reason they're both 7-2. Altoona won their games by an average of 23 points. Seymour by an average of 19 points. So the key, you would think right away in the playoffs, is who can get on top and play from in front. Now, you're going to eventually, if you want to make a deep run, come from behind at some point, but it's always a lot better to play in front, especially when you've got those playoff nerves with you. Moving on, we talk a lot about the offense, but is Altoona's defense able to be as dominant as it has been at times this season? The Altoona defense has allowed more than 14 points only twice this season. Of course, the offense, also the key for Altoona. Sawyer Van Vliet and that offense, do they find a rhythm? Boy, it didn't take them long last week to find that rhythm against Somerset. Can they do a similar thing against a very good Seymour defense? And finally, the winner tonight will either get number one seed Winneconne or the number eight seed Milwaukee North next week. So either number one Winneconne or number eight Milwaukee North next week, depending on the outcome of that game. It is Altoona and Seymour. We'll have the opening kickoff of this playoff game next here from 93.5 in Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Kickoff is next on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect, beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up
See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's time for Eau Claire Area High School Football on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Throws far side towards the end zone. Leaping interception made. Brody Neff picks it off in the end zone.
With the call of tonight's game, let's go to the field and to Scott Montesano.
And once again, welcome back into Oak Leaf Stadium here in Altoona. Scott Montesano with you. Derek Montesano as well. The safety net gone. It is the playoffs. Win and your season continues. Lose and the season is over with. Well, right now, both teams out on the field getting ready for the national anthem here in a moment. The Altoona Pep Band is below us. The students just off to their right. And, well, with that, let's pause. As from Altoona, Wisconsin, USA, our national anthem tonight.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Oh, actually a singing performance of our national anthem tonight. Well, again, temperatures in the lower 40s. It is as nice of an October night as you are going to get, especially as you work your way into the playoffs. First ever home playoff game for Altoona as a school. It is the fourth out of the last 5 years they've made the playoffs, but the first time ever getting a home game. Decent crowds, not overflowing at Oak Leaf Stadium, but still a pretty good crowd, especially from the community, which is down to our left in the grandstand below. The students off to our right, bundled up as though it's minus 40 degrees out there. You almost half expect them to light a campfire to stay warm the way they look down there. Not as many students as you would have thought, but still not awful. And a good turnout of Seymour supporters opposite of us. Saw them come in a bus a little while ago. Again, good crowd all around. If you wanted to steal from the butcher shop downtown in Altoona or Seymour, today would be the day to do it. Derek, we ready to do this tonight?
Oh, you bet we're ready to do this thing.
Altoona won the toss, and like last week, they've elected to kick off. So we'll see if Altoona's defense can set the tone like they did last week against Somerset. As I said, these are two teams that are very similar on paper in that they both can put up a lot of points, and neither one allows an awful lot. So, well, hence the reason it's a 4-5 matchup. Altoona's the home team, but it's not as though there's some huge favorite either. Altoona, head-to-toe in black, the black helmets, black tops, black pants. Seymour's got white helmets, white tops, and white pants. Altoona will kick it from our right to left here in just a moment as Deion Chesmore does the kicking duties. Sun has set, lights are on. Not much breeze to speak of. And again, temperatures in the lower 40s.
Yeah, you can feel today it is just football weather in October.
All right, Deion Chesmore is ready. Gets the signal. He'll run up. Boot meets ball, and away we go as an end-over-end kick. Taken at the 15-yard line, out beyond the far hash marks to the 25-yard line, and out to the 30-yard line. That was Caden Staffeld, who actually ran into one of his own guys from behind, maybe cost him an extra 5 yards, but still good field position for